All right, let's go to Luke chapter 6. And we're going to be talking about trees today, which is right up my alley. In chapter 6 and verse 43, our Lord said, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. But every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." And so we start with the trees, a good tree and a bad tree. Some of you, we are in an area where you can grow, our weather, our climate, and so on is great for growing all different kinds of things. If it grows in the eastern United States, north from Tennessee north, you can grow it here. For me, I love that. It's a lot of fun, and I get to grow all kinds of things. Maybe I grew up out east, and I get anything that I, any plant, any tree, any flower, anything that I was particularly enamored with as a young person, I can grow here, and I'll have it in my backyard, and off we go. Well, years ago, I ordered, a couple of fruit trees, native fruit trees from out east, and, planted them in the ground, and they were both grafted. And one of them, the graft died. The part that had been affixed to the rootstock died, and then I got a sucker that came up from the rootstock. Same kind of tree. Same kind of tree. And I thought, well, that's okay. Maybe it'll be what I need it to be. And it came up, and it took about 6 years before it began to bear fruit. And I will tell you that I have three trees of that kind that are bearing fruit, and this one produces the biggest fruit out of any of them. And they are utterly and completely inedible. They are disgusting. it might look good, but it produces horrible fruit. And, I have considered for some time, taking this thing out and replacing it with something else, because it is not doing what I had anticipated it to do. It is a bad tree. It had the initial appearance of a good tree, but it is not a good tree. When we're looking at this for the spiritual application, the top of your outline, we're talking about godly versus ungodly. This is going to be the application. We'll also get the application at the bottom. Saved and lost. Spirit versus the flesh. And what we have here, when we looked last time about the person having the beam, the plank, the post stuck in their eye, and they need to take care of the post before they can deal with somebody else's little speck in their eye. And so to some extent, this is self-evaluation. Am I a professed believer producing fruit in my life that would characterize a Christian? Now, I want you to keep your finger here, and let's go to the well-known passage there in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit. Just real quick, we're just going to go down the list. In Galatians chapter 5. And did I put down the reference? I did, it's at the top. Starting in verse 16. And no wonder it didn't look right. I'm in Ephesians. Okay, there we go. Starting verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." You can't have both. They're mutually exclusive. "But if ye are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law, for the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, and I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are things that are going to characterize the lost. Now, I can make all the claims of being a child of God and know the gospel backwards and forwards and be able to quote the verse, and I may warm my spot in the church, and I may stand up and sit down and sing the songs, and yet my life away from here, because I can put on my facade while I'm here, and if my life away from here is characterized not necessarily by all of these, but these trends, I'm fooling myself in claiming to be a Christian. Now, works don't make you a Christian. But if I claim the label and my life says no, 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 no. If I go to the pet store and I buy a four-legged furry animal and they said, this is a cat, and I bring it home and it wags its tail and it barks and it follows me all over the place. And it barks and it's friendly and all the things that a cat is not. And I say, wait a minute, I think we got the wrong kind of animal. I was supposed to have purchased a cat and this is a dog. How do I know it's a dog? Because it barks. It doesn't meow, it barks. It behaves like a dog. It's a social animal. It's not doing its own thing over here, staring out the window at the birds and so on. It's following me around and wanting to be around people. And it barks. It's indicating it's something else. I can claim the label of Christian, but if my life dictates otherwise, I'm fooling myself in claiming to be Christian. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. I'm sorry, verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I'm kidding myself if I claim to be a Christian and my life is not reflecting that. Let's go on down the list here in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit, starting verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is what God is doing in me, through me, by the power of the Spirit. I'm not doing it in the power of the flesh. By the way, Christians struggle when they try to do the right thing in the power of the flesh. You can't do it. At least you can't do it consistently. By sheer willpower, I can make myself do some things. But I cannot live the Christian life consistently in the power of the flesh. Otherwise, I'm using the same source of power I use as a lost person. I need to be empowered by the Spirit that lives within me. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are the things that are going to characterize a Christian. Now let's go back to Luke. And of course, this is self-evaluation. Are these things characteristics of my life? A good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. If I am a Christian, that the things on that first list are not going to be things that are going to be part of my life. As a fallen human being, still with a sin nature, I may stumble. But the general thing is I am going to be manifesting the fruit of the Spirit as opposed to the lust of the flesh. A good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. I have known some lost people that had some good character. They were honest. They were impeccable. They made sure that they were honest in their business dealings and a number of other things. And yet, as far as their general lifestyle is concerned, you may pick out your Christian character traits. And I'm gonna make sure this one's right because my parents taught me this way and this is the way I am and I'm fixated. But you look at the general pattern of their lives. They can't consistently, by the power of the flesh, live the way that even they themselves recognize as the right thing. As a believer, I can. This doesn't mean that I won't stumble, I won't fall, but I'll get up. And I'll keep going because I am empowered by the Spirit of God. I am, by God's doing, a good tree. But it's something that God has done. And the different trees can only bear what they're supposed to bear. They produce according to their nature. A good tree, this is what a true believer is supposed to, a true believer, mind you, is supposed to be like. It is what we as God's children are to strive for. These are the things that we are to work for. I had, after a number of years, I'm reading this morning, and I had an epiphany. I'm reading something, and an issue in my life that I have been dealing with for a number of years, and it's like, well, dummy, just do this and do this, and then you're fine. It's like, you know, some lessons take a while to learn. And this one's been years. It's like, of course. We ought to be striving for the right thing. And as we discover these things, because our sanctification is a process, as we discover these things, we need to implement these things. As God taps us on the shoulder and says, hey, this is about you. Follow through on it. We ought to be striving to grow in our knowledge and understanding and our personal holiness. Because to do these things, the things we saw there in Galatians chapter 5, is the natural outworking of the Holy Spirit in us. For Philippians, I think I put this further down. In Philippians chapter 2, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is the one who's doing this. It isn't my force of character, my personal discipline. I'm not saying those things are not involved. But if I'm going to do these things, I have to be empowered by the work of the Spirit. Because somebody who is lost cannot, I think I put that in all caps and bold, there we go, consistently produce a duplicate. And somebody else will say a counterfeit of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, bad tree may look good, like that one in my backyard, but it is what typifies the world. It is the outward, the natural outworking of the fallen human nature. I saw this quote. I don't agree with everything Calvin said, but he did say a number of good things. Nothing is more difficult to counterfeit than virtue. I can't consistently do what I'm supposed to be doing in the power of the flesh. This is why lost people cannot do it consistently. My wife and I were talking about this. I've read this, my wife has heard this, that there are people that are determined that ethics, morality are at issue in our country. And it's not the people that you think that are saying that. What they have done is they have reinvented their own morals. They have created their own sense of morality, their own sense of virtue. And they have called good evil and evil good, as it says there in the book of Isaiah. Nothing's new. Nothing's new. And so we change the standard so that it fits our desire. And so we deal with a counterfeit virtue, a counterfeit spirituality. But it's not what God says in his word. Verse 43, for every tree is known by its own fruit. This time of year especially, you can see this. All right, I'm going down that's an apple tree. Hey, there's an apple tree there. You see that apple tree? I kind of wonder what that was, but it's an apple tree. How do I know this time of year it's an apple tree? It's got apples on it. Or they're on the ground underneath it after the winds come. Oh, that one's a pear tree. How do I know that? It's got pears hanging on it. Oh, look at that. I didn't realize. They got a persimmon tree. There's a few of those around town. Persimmon tree in their yard. How do I know? It's got persimmons on it. Trees produce after their kind. And you can't make a tree produce something else. This is going back to Genesis, you know. They reproduce after their kind. I'm going to produce the fruit that is tied to my very nature. God has to change my nature for me to change my fruit. Because the fruit tells you what kind of tree you are. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. God changes us. God transforms us. I have, over the years, met a number of people that I had known when they were lost. And God saved them. And sometimes you don't recognize me, do you? And they smiled, and I could recognize them by the smile. Whoa! God had transformed this person. The worst kid, I went to the same group of kids to school, from first grade through the graduation of high school. And the worst kid, the most immoral kid, the kid with the most problems, got saved several years after he graduated from high school. My brother was the youth pastor at our home church for a number of years and ran into this guy at a store. And the guy walked up to him and started talking to him. And then he told who he was. We've been in this guy's house before. Not necessarily with my mom's approval, but we were at this guy's house. And so we knew this guy. And then he started, I'm so-and-so. And then he starts telling his story and a time of fellowship happens. God's in the life-changing business. God does some amazing, amazing things. They bear after their kind. Now, one of the things in the gospel accounts that you see Jesus dealing with the Pharisees especially, is hypocrisy. Claiming to be God's children, claiming to be spiritual people. But the reality is they're claiming to be something they're not. They know what the scripture has to say. But our Lord condemns them for selective enforcement. Oh, we like this. We're going to do this. We're going to make sure we tithe our herbs. Over here, showing mercy, showing justice. Nah, we don't like that. That affects our pocketbook. We're going to ignore that one. But we're going to make sure that that little patch of thyme I have growing in the backyard, I'm going to get out my little scale, and when I harvest the stuff, I'm going to take 1/10 of that and make sure that I tithe my thyme. And I mean with thyme. And so many who would claim when this was written to be followers of God were not. And just like many today who claim, I would dare say in our country, the majority of people who claim to be Christians are not. I remember when I was in college, many decades ago, when I was in college, there was a number of fellows that were evangelists. They would hold week-long, sometimes 2 weeks, of meetings in a church. And the fellows who had been doing this for decades were convinced. This is back in the 80s. We're convinced in that day that a majority of the people who were in our fundamental churches in the 80s were actually lost people. Preaching week after week after week in all these churches all across America. This might explain also why in a lot of churches, 90% of the work is done by 10% of the people. Verse 45, a good man, here's the application, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. What comes out of your mouth is going to be indicative of what's going on inside. What's inside shows in your life. Now let's ask some practical questions. How do I use my free time, if you have any? How do you use your free time? What do you daydream about? as you're thinking about different things, maybe envisioning goals, running some things through your head, what do you daydream about? Where do you put your money on? Where do you put your money? If I've got a little bit of extra money, what am I going to spend my extra resources on? My time, my dreams and ambitions, my resources. What do I do with those things? That's going to be an indicator of what's in your heart. Because what is also is inside shows in your words, and that's the main thing here. We talk about what is important to us. And again, often guilty here. We spend a lot of our time talking about things that are of no eternal consequence, of no spiritual consequence. We are fixated on things that have no bearing on why I'm here in this world. Now, I know God has given us interest and so on. Use these things as tools. Life is ministry. You know, I can get into a conversation with somebody. It's helpful to know what I'm talking about and be able to engage somebody and use that as a bridge to present the gospel. But I need to make sure that my hobbies, my interests and so on don't become my end all. We talk about what is important. We talk about what we think about. It just comes out. The things we treasure are what we are known for. Where are our priorities? And so the question is, what's the most valuable thing to you? What's the most valuable thing to you? Because God knows the inside and the outside. He knows whether or not we are His. And we may try to fool ourselves and we may try to fool those around us by saying and doing the right thing. At least trying to or imagining we are. But the ability to do that consistently is by the power of the Spirit. And I cannot fool God. And we need to stop fooling ourselves. You are known by your fruit. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge of this self-evaluation that our Lord gives here. And Father, I pray that we'd make up our minds. We would evaluate. Do we know you? And Father, if we do, how are we living? What are we saying? What are the priorities in our lives? What are our treasures? And Father, I pray that you would be our greatest treasure and to love and serve you and please you, our greatest desire. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.